Welcome to Girl Power History. Oh my God, I'm Brianna Pirro.
She's Brianna Pirro.
That's me. And you are?
Alexa.
Alexa?
What is the weather today? I'm taking it back. It's my joke now.
You did it, and I haven't even done that on the show yet.
I know.
But I thought you were changing yours to Hey Brianna.
They won't let me. I tried.
Dang.
I know.
All right.
Like, I can still send you an Echo Show to plant in your house, and then I can drop in whatever I want, which I think I'm going to do that.
That's not creepy. Christmas
gift spoiled. How are you doing?
I don't know if it'll work that far. I am good. I feel like I adulted a lot today, and I want to retire.
That's so tough.
Yeah, it was like so many adulty things, but yeah, it was good. Good. All the important business meetings today, you know, everything is on the up, right? So yeah, I did have someone tell me today that it's okay to start having a family. And I thought that was kind of funny, like, because I own my own business. I haven't thought about starting to have kids, and I am 30. So apparently that's something I should be thinking about, but I haven't.
Well, you are old now. You gotta start pushing the kids out.
Such a funny comment. Like, it's okay to start thinking about a family. And I was like, what? Like, it just came out of like nowhere. And I was just like,
we know you're trying to run a business and stuff, but don't forget about your real purpose in this world. Jesus.
I know it came in like a good place. It was like, but it was just like, there's no, what did she say? It was like, there's no time like the present, or it's always unexpected or something. But there was like no context before. So I found that like we weren't talking about families or something, like anything like that. It was just like, totally go for it. And I was like, I am not ready.
I don't know how I would handle that question.
Yeah. So
comment.
If you're 30 or older and people, you know, want to say those comments, you are in no rush, and it's okay to not have children, and it's okay to have children when you're 18, whatever age you want to start having children, you do you. It's all okay.
That's like
whatever makes you happy.
That's like if you're having a meeting with like a 60-year-old and they're like, you know, it's never too late to think about dying. Like, what? I'm not down with the ageist comments of our society.
But I don't know. It just, I mean, it makes sense. And I feel like it came from a good place, but it was also just like odd because there was no context to it. Yeah,
I can make a lot of things sound like they're coming from a good place.
Stop it. So yeah, that was the only like odd thing that happened today, but everything else, really good stuff. Investor meetings, you know, financial meetings, all the things. Great. So much adulting. My brain wants to explode, but that comment really stuck out to me today.
Well, I did the exact opposite of that and did the time-honored tradition of the Midwest and going to a Santa-themed theme park. Is that correct? Is that what we call it?
Yeah. Well, it's a
village.
Santa's village.
It's Santa's village, but it's July and it was 90 degrees. And
did
it's
you
just
see
this weird place where it's really hot and yet everything is frozen looking. And my children were confused, but we did it.
And was Santa there?
No, but they did have wallabies and they had a capybara, which is one of my favorite large rodents. And they had...
I don't know what that is.
It's like the biggest hamster you've ever seen. Like, imagine like a 25-pound hamster.
Oh. Remember that time when your dad...
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Okay, side note, childhood story. You're welcome, everyone. So, Alexa's father and my uncle, we went to Petco, and we just came from, I think, lunch or something, and we went in, and there were ferrets in this like square little box thing where you could pick them up and pet them. And you, Alexa, are like petting one, no problem. I go to pet one and it bites the shit out of my finger. Like full on takes a chunk out of my finger and I am bleeding everywhere.
Well, you shouldn't have picked up the flesh-eating ferrets, but there was a sign there.
And your dad is like, oh shit. And then the Petco people like interfere before your dad even can like come and help and just like take me into the back and is like, no one's gonna see this. Nothing happened here.
Meanwhile, they're like, I don't know, a bunch of 15-year-olds and there's like a 7-year-old that's fingers profusely bleeding. Call in the experts.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that until you just said that. Oh, that was funny. Yeah, that didn't feel good.
Really?
No. And I do not like ferrets to this day. So that just reminded me of the ferret story that I forgot about. So anyways, I digress. How was Santa's village?
There were no ferrets there. There were two alpacas. They did not want to talk to me and I was really offended. They walked right away from me and I took it as a personal offense. So
are alpacas and llamas different?
Yes. Alpacas are smaller and they have longer ears.
Hmm. Are they in the llama family though?
Yes, I think they are a type of llama.
Thank you. Next You're week, welcome. Please join us for our animal podcast.
And thank you.
And thank you. Thank you for joining us. Just kidding. Well, I am not disappointed that I didn't go to Santa's village because no thank you.
The only time I remember ever going to Santa's village was when Uncle Jimmy and Aunt Hillary took us and they made sandwiches and you and I got into a fight over the sandwiches because we both wanted the same one. It sounds like us.
That does sound like us. But I also remember that. I don't remember the fight about the sandwiches, but I also remember being too tall for like all of these rides.
Too tall? Like, what are you talking about?
I was like lengthy. And like there was like a ride where like you had to be like put in. And I felt like this like long giant thing just like going up and down. And I was like, I hate this. Like, I don't, how old were we? I feel like,
I don't know, but I went on most of the rides today, so maybe they changed them.
Yeah.
So they were like adult friendly because, yeah, I was subject to many rides today.
Mm. Unless we were in like the kid zone or something, and I was like, I'm not a kid.
It's all a kid zone. It's Santa's village.
That's true. It's been a long time. That was the only time I've been there. Anyways, yeah, if you really like Christmas, then
You'll love it. And go find a place with different alpacas because these guys were not cool. I'm going to think about that for days now. Like, why didn't they like me?
I'm so sorry.
Maybe it was my perfume.
Probably. Well, obviously you're taking it personal, so.
I am.
Well, on other news, are you ready? Because I'm super ready.
I'm really
super
excited today. This is an episode that I dreamed that we were going to be doing, and now we're doing it, and you're going to do it. It's your turn.
Yes,
on
yes.
the center stage.
This story took me quite a bit to find actual documentation of what went on through her life because I haven't even told you who it is yet, but there's so many rumors and so much drama that people have like put into this woman's life that did not actually exist. It's so sad, but it honestly took me hours of like researching to get a factual story. And I will go through some of the BS that she went through like at the end. So drum roll.
Without further ado, and now to the center stage,
Marilyn Monroe.
I am really excited about this episode. So
me too. Learned a few things. Always learning, you know, that's that growth mindset. If you guys read that book last week. But anyways, just going to continue. Marilyn Monroe, incredible woman. So her life story kind of threw me for a loop. Did not know a lot of this stuff. So super excited. The woman that the world recognizes as Marilyn Monroe was born as Norma Jean Mortensen on June 1st, 1926 2 weeks after Monroe was born, her mother, Gladys Baker, put her in the care of foster parents. Her mother battled with mental illness and was later diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. Monroe never knew her father. Monroe at first was left to be cared by her mother's former lodgers and then with her neighbors who offered to formally adopt Monroe. Her mother refused, and Monroe moved into her mother's best friend's home, Grace Goddard's. Eventually, Grace was not able to afford taking care of Monroe and took her to the Los Angeles Orphanage Society. Grace later married and took back Monroe to eventually not be able to afford to take care of her and put her in foster care again.
Do you think she's... I'm just sensing some like abandonment issues that might be in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's it gets worse. So let's it already happened like back forth as like she's an infant. So I mean, like being an infant and you need to have like an attachment, and that didn't happen for Monroe. So yeah. So she's put in foster care for the second time by Grace Goddard. At this time, foster parents was not seen as an act of compassion, but it was seen as a money-making scheme. So a lot of people would take in like 12 or 15 kids just for the financial benefit of it. Monroe lived with 12 different parents, many who were neglectful or abusive. Monroe suffered sexual assault, and she actually developed a speech impediment from this assault. Again, Grace eventually took Monroe again for the third time back. Of course, it did not last.
Why?
Monroe, it was because they kept on not being able to afford taking care of her. So Grace, first she was single, and then she got married, and then they took her back after she got married. And then as a couple, they couldn't afford her, so they gave her back into foster care. And then for the third time, they weren't able to afford her again, taking care of her. For her, I mean, it did write that she tried like to take care of her, but it was essentially neglect at the end of the day because she had to work and she wasn't able to be home to take care of the child anyways. So I understand, but it's a very hard decision. It's not your child, but it's also the neighbors, you know, offered to formally adopt Monroe, which I was like, why didn't you just go for that? But her mother was mentally ill. So yeah. And you don't know the neighbors. So you don't know what they were like. And apparently her mother, Monroe's mother, didn't want them to adopt her. So.
Well, paranoid schizophrenic probably isn't very open to meeting a lot of new people.
Yeah, but she knew her neighbors, and like they were gladly like open arms to take her, and she was an infant, and you know, it's just sad looking back at that. So, and to be sexually assaulted by one of the lodgers at one of the foster care facilities, like that's horrible as well. And it didn't specify like how old she was. She just later told interviewers that she was sexually assaulted during this, and she had to work through like her speech impediment from the assault. So after Grace, for the third time, wasn't able to take care of her, she asked her aunt to take care of Monroe. So instead of having to put her in foster care for the third time, Grace's aunt, Anna Lower, ended up taking care of Monroe. And this was the first time in Monroe's life that she felt that she was loved and wanted. So so she was 12 years old when she finally found someone that she felt loved her for real. So Anna enrolled Monroe in junior high school, and they attended Christian Science Services weekly. I had to look up what Christian Science Services because I didn't know. We grew up Catholic and Christianity, I'm pretty familiar with that. So I looked up what Christian Science Theology is. Pretty much, they believe in the reality that reality is purely spiritual and the material world is an illusion. This includes the view that disease is a mental error rather than a physical disorder, and that the sick should be treated not by medicine, but by a form of prayer that seeks to correct the beliefs responsible for the illusion of ill health.
Yep. Ellen DeGeneres in her last special has a great bit on this because she was raised Christian Scientist.
Yeah,
I check it out. I won't say anymore.
I don't know. I mean, there's so many different religions, right? But some of the medicine they use, they, you know, if it's a broken bone or stuff like that, there's a lot of it that they do not believe in. So Monroe was reported to be a mediocre student, but was excellent in writing and contributed to the school newspaper. The person that she was living with, Anna, her health was declining and she had a lot of problems, which Monroe had to return and live with Grace around 1941.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So the same year she was going to high school and Grace's husband was forced to relocate because of his work to West Virginia in 1942. So again, she faced that she had to go to the orphanage or foster care, but they had a solution. And I don't like this solution, but this is the best alternative, I guess, for her. So their solution was she would marry their neighbor's 21-year-old son, who was a factory worker, his name James Doherty, on June 19th, 1942. She just turned 16, and Monroe had to drop out of high school to become a housewife.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was better than the orphanage or foster care, but they thought it was, and she agreed to it. So she found herself and James mismatched and later stated that she was dying of boredom during their marriage. In 1943, James enlisted in the Mechanic Marine and was stationed on Santa Catalina Island, where Monroe moved in with him.
I heard they have a good wine mixer.
Her husband was deployed and she had to move in with her in-laws. She began working factory that supported World War II. This was in late 1944. So they sent in a photographer to her factory that she was working at to boost the morale and support women working to support the war. So they were like going around taking pictures, and this was the government's idea to.
This is like what Amazon does with all those crazy commercials. Just like, we love it here. And just like, kicking their like pee jars like under their desk.
They're like, these are great. Love the benefits. So they sent a photographer into the place that she was working, the factory. And she was so photogenic and beautiful that the photographer convinced her to become a model.
Oh.
Yes. So she signed a contract without her husband's permission. I know. The audacity that she had. Yeah. And then she divorced her husband, James, in June 1946. So she was pursuing her modeling career while he was deployed. Then after he came back, she divorced him. So
good for her.
Yeah. Which I feel like this marriage like doesn't count because it was like, I don't know.
It was a mulligan.
Like, she didn't want to do it. She just did it because she had to. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like this marriage counted for her, but also.
Do you think everyone should get one freebie?
I mean, if you grew up like this, then yeah, you do.
All right. But the next one's going to be on your record.
I mean, she's Marilyn Monroe. She can do anything. So.
That's true.
Okay. So she divorced her husband, and then she actually, after the divorce, soon signed with 20th Century Fox for a film contract. This is the time where she dyed her hair blonde and changed her name to Marilyn Monroe. She was dropped by Fox in 1947 and then picked up by Columbia in 1948, but was dropped again later that year. She was struggling to become an actress and to pay her bills. In 1949, she agreed to pose naked for $50 to pay her car loan.
Whoa.
And yeah, this is like, that's how bad, like, she was struggling. Like, she was like, I have nothing else to give right now. She was offered $50 and she agreed to it. So her acting career took off the next year after these photos were taken. At first, they didn't really get any publicity. And then after she got famous, Hugh Hefner purchased the rights to these photos and put them in Playboy.
Can I just say that in today's money, that's $570.79.
For a picture?
Still not a lot.
She had a pair of Carville, you know?
Yep.
Hugh Hefner, so he purchased the rights to these photos and put them in Playboy. Hugh was obsessed with Monroe, but never actually met her in person. Probably because she despised him.
Why?
Yeah, Monroe. I know, crazy. Monroe never made more than $50 on that photo when other people were making millions off of her photos because he purchased the rights to them. So she made literally no money off of that.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of like what can still happen today if you're not paying attention.
Yeah. But I always thought that she posed for Playboy and that he didn't like steal these photos from someone else. I don't know.
I think. Someone's getting sued right now for the, I think Dua Lipa is getting sued right now from like paparazzi because she posted a picture that they took of her on her Instagram. That stuff like happens. It's crazy to think that that happened to Marilyn Monroe because I didn't know about it, but it still is happening today and it's cringy as ever.
Yeah. So that's super cringy, but... This part is disturbing by like all belief. So Hugh Hefner was so obsessed with her that after Marilyn Monroe passed away, he purchased the crib next to hers for $75,000. Creep. What a creep.
Is that like, where he's buried?
I don't know. I didn't look that up. I don't think so, but it was just that he purchased it next to hers. Google it because now I'm curious, but I didn't look it up. So at first, when she became famous, like when she started, you know, having films go out, the public was outraged by these photos that she had placed in Playboy. But then she told her story about how she wasn't the one who actually posed for it and that she was trying to pay her car loan and that like the public gave her a lot of support for that. So they kind of forgave her for being naughty, I guess. I don't know. What'd you find?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yep. Nope. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It's even creepier.
That's terrible.
So he was so obsessed with her, he got buried or cremated next to her cremation or...
Ugh,
oh, my God. What a creep.
I think they're...
It's even worse.
I think they're in drawers.
They're like in the crypt or whatever.
Yeah.
That little thing. That makes me... cringe even
like
more.
I always say you can't choose your neighbors.
Yeah, I guess if I, you know, that's not okay. So anyways, I don't even know where to go from that. That like shook me a little bit.
Let's all take a moment to be all creeped out together.
Like I just was like, oh, he just purchased it. Like, not that that's where he would end up. Like, it's Hugh Hefner. I just thought he would have like, I don't know, somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, gross. I didn't know he could get grosser. So he did. Congratulations. Backing up to 1952, this is where she met her second husband, Joe DiMaggio. You got to do it with an accent. DiMaggio.
So familiar.
I know. He was a retired professional baseball player. They were seen as the American sweethearts for 1 year of marriage, but they dated for... you know, a few years before they got married. It was a long distance relationship, which I think is why she got married to him, because it was working long distance. But when they got married and were living together, things kind of went sideways. So when they were dating, Marilyn Monroe was casted as a sex symbol and a dumb blonde in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. This is where she sings Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, that movie, when she's like in the middle. And then she was also casted for How to Marry a Millionaire. Joe could not handle his wife's career, especially that she was considered Hollywood's sex symbol. After they were married, Joe was expecting her to give up her career and become a housewife. What is up with men wanting to do this? I don't, you know what? Don't continue your education. Don't continue your career. My needs are way more than yours.
Oh my God.
So yeah, apparently they didn't have that conversation before they got married. Obviously that didn't work for Marilyn. So it was rumored that Joe was extremely controlling and abusive. And Monroe was rumored that she was having an affair during this marriage. The affair had a lot of you know, a lot of information on it. Again, it was only rumored. His abuse, however, was documented.
So obviously, you know, the documented thing was a complete lie. And then, you know, she was definitely having an affair.
Yes. The guy that she was supposedly having an affair with, like, hinted that it was accurate, but it was never, like, full on told that it was. So I don't know. Again, there's, like, so many different articles about this. So who knows? But was he upset about the affair? And that's why he was controlling and abusive? Either way, doesn't matter. That's not okay. Marilyn Monroe was filming her famous Subway Great scene, where she is wearing that white dress and it, like, goes up and shows her legs and mm-hmm. she's, like, pushing it down. And Joe was watching from the back while it was being filmed. And after he watched her do that scene, they got into a huge fight and it turned extremely violent. She actually filed for divorce right after that fight. Joe begged her for forgiveness and obviously she didn't forgive him, but they ended up reconnecting a year after they were divorced and they remained great friends. Joe cared for Monroe very deeply, even though he didn't show it the best way. Joe tried to help Monroe through addiction and mental health issues, but he later blamed himself for her death. After he arranged her funeral, Joe had red roses delivered to her crib 3 times a week for 20 years until his death.
Wow. If only you could have been that nice when you were beating her up.
I know. I think he was, yeah, something wasn't okay there. So, you know, just reading throughout her, like, life history, he just seemed to be, like, always there to support her. And I mean, it's great that they continued that relationship. But why weren't you like that when they were married?
Mm-hmm.
So the story most people have come to know about Monroe is she took a few pretty photos and then became a movie star. Monroe worked very hard and studied to become a better model and went to many acting schools as well. She was often seen on set with a book in her hand. She did not have the opportunity to finish high school, but she never stopped educating herself. She had a great work ethic. She took every job she was offered the first 5 years of her career. Monroe was very clever. She befriended the reporters that were working in studios, and they were happy to give her a boost in her career with media and different reports. Monroe always resented that she was cast as a dumb blonde or a seductress, which she eventually protested with Fox to receive more serious roles. Monroe also protested her salary with Fox, which at this time, she was their biggest star. They refused to give her any serious roles or have any choice in what show she wanted to be part of or what movie. There was no decision she was given, and they were not going to increase her salary. So Monroe walked out on her contract.
Wow.
She left Fox and started her own studio.
What?
Yeah. She was the second woman to ever found her own production studio. But Fox caved in and gave her a raise and offered her whatever she wanted. So it was like she founded it, but then it was kind of like a, all right, well, let's see what they do.
Yeah.
And so in 1956, she was announcing her win over 20th Century Fox. The press wrote favorably about her decision to fight the studio. Time called her a skewed businesswoman, which I find, like, hilarious. I'm like, what? I was like, no, she's just savvy.
Yeah.
Another magazine, Look, predicted that the win be an example of the individual against the herd for years to come. During this time, she was dating Arthur Miller, who was a screenwriter. He, not such a great guy. He, instead of congratulating her for, you know, winning against 20th Century Fox, he prompted comments such as, "America's best known blonde moving picture stars is now the darling of the left wing." So, I mean, not supportive at all. She eventually married Miller.
Because he was such a nice guy.
Yeah. So on June 29th, Monroe and Miller were married. They had a Jewish ceremony. I don't understand why she married him, because he was not nice to her at all, in a demeaning way, not even a supportive way. Like, he wasn't abusive. He was just demeaning to her. He never thought of her more than a dumb blonde, even though she was extremely intelligent, and especially her background of not being able to educate herself as a child, you know? So in March of 1956, Monroe began filming the drama Bus Stop, her first film under the new contract. She played Sherry, a salon singer whose dreams of stardom are complicated by a naive cowboy who falls in love with her. For the role, she learned an Ozark accent.
Ooh.
I don't know what an Ozark accent is.
Well, like Ozarks, like it is Missouri.
Yeah, okay. So a Missourian accent.
Missouri.
Our,
we know Missouri people.
So she got to choose her like costumes and makeup, which I guess this film was not a like Marilyn Monroe glammed up look.
Mm-hmm.
So she deliberately sang with like mediocre voice, and she did like mediocre dancing, and she did this to play the role.
She was acting.
She was acting because that's what you do. So there was a Broadway director, Joshua Logan. He agreed to direct this film despite initially doubting her acting ability and knowing of her reputation for being difficult, which her reputation for being difficult was because she fought for more money and wanted different films. So that's her reputation.
She's really difficult. She wants to, you know, stand up for herself and all that stuff.
Yeah. Women. Yeah. I mean, there's reports of her having extreme stage fright and having like a hard time like getting into a role and being able to get on stage. And from that, like the first time that she would have to film like the first set of the day, she would have a hard time, but then she would like warm up and do really, really well throughout the day. So, and some of her like male stars that she worked with, you know, would say like, yes, she had to do like a scene 36 times. And then after that, she accomplished all of the others in one set. So I don't know, I've never acted, so I don't know what that's like, but I feel like even when you do a public speaking or, you know, you're doing anything in a public setting, it's very difficult at first, and then you kind of get comfortable and then you continue to feel better.
Yeah, there's certain times where if you're doing a take of something, like it's like something is like, if you forget a line or something, it's just like gone. Like your body just can't get it out. And then all of a sudden, like it clicks.
You did more of that than me. So that was her being difficult on set. So the film took place in Idaho and Arkansas. With Monroe, technically, she was in charge as the head of MMP, occasionally making decisions on the choreograph or, you know, different dancing or different ways to sing. And she did this with Logan, and Logan was adapting to her perfectionism and chronic lateness. That's what they say. The experience changed Logan's opinion on Monroe, and he later compared her to Charlie Chaplin in her ability to blend comedy and tragedy. Which I think is a pretty high praise.
Yeah. So,
you know, no big deal. No big deal.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And he was a big Broadway director. So to have that come from him, I think that's pretty cool. Which kind of shows you how, if like she was great to work with, right? So he was like, okay, yeah, she's actually really good. And she's a perfectionist, which makes her want to be great. You know, for people to say that she had all of these horrific things, it was just like, all right, maybe not so much. So,
I think being a perfectionist in the movie industry or television industry is a very masculine thing, especially for directors and stuff, because there's a lot of them that do many, many, many takes for every scene. And it's like, oh, well, this is just how their crafting is. But to think that an actress, a female actor, has like 36 takes is not a lot compared to what I've seen in like a lot of other things I've heard. I mean, I've seen actors that I won't call out, but like walk on a set and do it 50 takes and like still not like just have to ask for like line. And like, where did you come from? Did you know that you're going to be here today? Did you just stumble in here and they ask you? Like, it's, I feel like that's a very, men can get away with that. And I think a lot of times women are like, oh, well, she's difficult.
Yeah. So this was her like first non-dumb blonde movie, Bus Stop. She actually received a Golden Globe for this, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
Because it's like, hey, I'm not just a dumb blonde. I'm not just this sex symbol. I actually can act.
That's awesome.
So good for her. So after she received the Golden Globe, she was starring in several other films that were more of a dramatic character. All of them great reviews. So Monroe took a 18-month hiatus from her career due to her having a miscarriage. And from that, she actually had several miscarriages. And it was linked to her diagnosis of endometriosis.
Oh.
So Monroe was also briefly hospitalized due to a barbiturate overdose. I don't know what it's like to go through a miscarriage. I don't know what it's like to not be able to conceive a child, but at this point in her life, this was a huge, you know, huge burden on her life to not be able to have a child.
That is a lot of things to go through for miscarriages, an ectopic pregnancy, and then finding out that you have endometriosis, which is, I've heard, extremely, extremely painful. That is horrible. It's like you check all the boxes of like all the horrible things that can happen, like with your reproductive system. That must have been so difficult.
Yeah. So this kind of started her spiral of taking drugs and drinking and having depression. So she was on a lot of drugs because of her illness, and she was in a lot of pain from this, and she couldn't conceive a child. So her and her husband, Arthur Miller, were not doing so well. And he wrote a movie that she starred in, The Misfits. And the movie portrayed her as how her husband viewed her as, which it's not a great look. So she had a rough time with this film. I don't think she realized, maybe she realized it was about her, but I don't know. It's not cool. I've never seen it, but everything that I read about it was essentially just demeaning to her. So Monroe and Miller eventually divorced.
Listen.
Thank you.
I'm going to have you play a real bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but kind of a funny thing that I didn't mention, she did this show, this Misfits, with John Hudson, who, I guess the picture of John Hudson looked like her father, who she never met. So in Monroe's head, she was starring, like co-starring with the guy who looked like her father, even though she never met him.
That is so weird.
Yeah. So kind of funny. But, and that was the last film she did before she died. She was found dead in Brentwood, a neighborhood of LA, August 4th, 1962. The housekeeper that was living with her awoke at 3 a.m. August 5th. Because she sensed something was wrong, and she saw the light underneath Monroe's bedroom door, but was unable to get a response and found the door locked. The housekeeper called Monroe's physician, who arrived at the house shortly after, broke into the bedroom through the window to find Monroe dead in her bed. Monroe's physician arrived around 3:50 and pronounced her dead on the scene at 4:25. So there was a ton of prescription pills on her counter because she was in physical pain from her diagnosis of endometriosis. They pronounced this as a suicide because her toxicity report showed high levels of barbiturates, the cause of death to be acute barbiturate poisoning. There was many empty medicine bottles found next to her bed. The possibility that Monroe had accidentally overdosed was ruled out because the dosage found in her body were several times over the lethal limit. There are a million conspiracies of how she died or why she died.
Bring them on.
So before I bring on those, I'm going to say a few other interesting facts really quick. So after she supposedly committed suicide, or committed suicide, I'll go with the facts. This is what is factual, that she committed suicide.
Also, now I will say that it's called completing suicide.
Oh, you're right, it is. Completing suicide. So after Monroe's sudden death was front page news in the United States and Europe, the suicidal rates, or suicide completion rates, doubled the month after she died.
What?
Yeah. Crazy.
Wow.
I found that so bizarre. And it wasn't just in LA it doubled. Like, there was multiple areas that after her suicide, completed suicide, that there was double suicide in multiple cities.
Crazy.
Yep. Yes. So some of the conspiracy theories included murder and accidental overdose. Apparently they have been investigated and they've been they've reopened the case and then closed the case. So LA, the district attorney, announced that there was no evidence of foul play. So those are the facts of how Marilyn Monroe actually died. Here are some conspiracy theories of how she died. So I'm going to preference conspiracy theories. Marilyn Monroe saying happy birthday to John F. Kennedy. From that, it was rumored that she was having an affair with the president. This was never confirmed by anyone. And during this time, it was looked upon extremely bad for a reporter to write gossip on the president, which I find very interesting. So the president was off limits on gossip, but everybody else was okay.
That's so weird.
Isn't that weird? So there's not a lot of written documentations of this rumor that were published in news articles. It's talked about later, but it's not publicly announced. So apparently Monroe was in love with John F. Kennedy and they had this ongoing affair and he was going to leave his wife to be with Monroe and she committed suicide because he didn't want to be with her. That's one of the theories. Let's not forget that she was trying to have children her entire life and she was in physical pain. And she also was, cast as a dumb blonde her entire life, even though she had a brain. And she was constantly battling with, being a star. So I hate that theory because it just plays to the point of being your life is worth one person. So hate that theory.
I also think that that's another one of those examples of just Hollywood trying to overtake a story, turn it into the true story of something and rewriting it so it sounds better and sounds more alluring.
Based on true facts.
Yeah.
Or true events.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much all of the, not all, but five of the theories is the CIA killed Monroe because of their affair, or John F. Kennedy himself killed Marilyn Monroe, or her death was staged to look like John F. Kennedy killed her. There was a lot going on here. And then one of them was the mafia killed her because she hurt the Kennedys. So that was another one. Another one was the doctors covered it up because it was an accidental overdose, which Monroe lied to the doctors about the amount of medication she's been prescribed. And the last conspiracy theory, which I find the most comical, she was going to expose the truth behind UFOs.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite one too.
So the government killed her because it was classified information.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I feel like the I feel like it's so common, the accidental overdose, just because the doctor is the one that like found her and declared her dead. Like, that's very convenient.
Yeah, but the timeline doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's true.
So if there was a housekeeper there and she was the one, I think there was a lot of depression. There's mental illness in her life.
Yeah.
And she was going through a lot.
And there's also, yeah, I mean, I think accidental overdoses happen. Because especially if you're in pain and if you're overworked, I think it's very easy when you need, you know, some sort of relief to accidentally take two, you know, forget that like, oh yeah, these two drugs don't mix well together or something. And you just forget that you take, you know, one and, you know, you already took another one. You know, it happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. After all of the information, I feel like she committed suicide. I mean, is it weird that the doctor broke in through the window and they didn't call the cops first? I don't know why they didn't just call the cops if she was unresponsive, but that's...
Well, I will say it's not like they didn't have 911 back then. Like, that's not...
They didn't? I thought it was already introduced.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That was in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yep.
No, you're right.
Didn't say killer, baby.
Yep.
I guess, like, maybe they would call a physician first or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So at the end of the day, it's just sad the amount of pain this woman went through in her life. And to be so successful and to just fight for your career, I think she shows a lot of ambition showed a lot of ambition. Gosh, and she is so beautiful.
Like, so pretty.
I didn't realize, like, I feel like I haven't looked at enough photos of her. I can completely understand how the society got like so fixated on her because yeah. She's like, and her, the films that she plays and how she talks and how she sings and she can dance. Like, how do you learn all these things without even going to high school? Like, yeah. she's so talented. So a respected businesswoman, Sarah Churchwell, talked about Marilyn Monroe after she passed away. And she said, the biggest myth is that she was dumb. The second is that she was fragile. The third is that she couldn't act. She was far from dumb, although she was not formally educated, and she was very sensitive about that. But she was very smart indeed and very tough. She had to be both to beat the Hollywood studio system in the 1950s. The dumb blonde was a role. She was an actress, for heaven's sake. Such a good actress that no one now believes she was anything but what she portrayed on scene.
Wow.
So
that's a pretty powerful statement.
I think so. I wanted to read that one. She starred in over 30 films, many where she combined singing and dancing, not just acting. There are hundreds of books and documentaries and videos and blogs and about this woman. She was an icon, and I was really happy to do this one and learn so much about her.
I learned a lot. Good job.
Thank you. So
that was really interesting. Yeah. I did not know anything about her childhood or how she grew up. I think she's always been viewed as like a tragic Hollywood character, but I mean, it's really all true.
It's true, but it's also like she was a badass.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, yes, it was tragic. The ending was tragic, but how much she overcome, and like she was confident. She was a confident woman. I feel like the tipping point for her was the not being able to have a child and then the physical pain she was in.
Yeah, yeah. That would be very hard to deal with, so, especially back then, too, because I mean, you know, now endometriosis is, you know, a little bit more understood, but I can't imagine what it was like back then to have that.
Yeah. There was a lot of growths that were talked about that she had happen and how painful they were and how she was in just constant physical pain from it. So again, a lot of the prescriptions that they were like, oh, there was bottles everywhere. Yeah. Because she was in pain and they were trying to figure out how to treat it.
Yeah.
So it didn't help that she had probably started taking pain medications, and her family all has mental illness. So she's kind of, I don't know, So tragic, yes, but powerful. What a powerful woman. So I want to go watch like all of her films now.
Yeah,
so.
That'd be really interesting to do. I feel like I'm not in the season of my life where I'm ready to watch old movies yet, but someday, like I do have a running list of like just the movies I'm going to watch someday, like when I want to watch really old movies.
Yeah, my husband loves old movies. So since we've gotten married, I've watched a lot of older movies, and they always make me like so happy after I watch them. I'm always like, oh, I love this. I'm like, why do I not want to watch this? And I feel like a lot of it's because I was like, oh, I don't like Broadway. And now that I'm like, oh, I kind of like Broadway. Like, all right, I can do this. And then we'll watch a few and I'm like, oh, these are actually really good. I can do this. Yeah, that's what I got for Marilyn Monroe.
Good job. Well, Thank you. Should we do our girl crushes?
Yes, I went first last week, so you go first.
All right.
Do you have a serious one this time?
I'm going to call it serious.
Yeah. I'm going to bring books and like educate people. And you're like, I'm going to make people laugh.
This one, I don't think it's that funny. All right. All right. So my girl crush this week is definitely Britney Spears.
Pretty much. Oh.
So she has been in a conservatorship for 13 years, run by her father. And this week, she was legally allowed to obtain new counsel. And not only did she get representation that she was able to pick herself, she got a really awesome, awesome attorney of the stars, Matthew Rosengart, who is going to fight like hell to get her father off of her conservatorship. And I'm really excited. I have been following the Britney case for a very long time, and this has been a great week for her. And not only that, go read her Instagram, because she is fighting and she is talking about stuff and she is not apologetic about it. And I am so here for it. I almost want to just download Instagram again on my phone and just follow Britney Spears, because I don't really do social media, but her posts are amazing right now.
Hashtag free Britney.
Hashtag free Britney.
Yeah. Yeah. That woman has been put through a ringer. Let's talk about some Hollywood shit, right? Yes. So, I mean, last week was kind of Hollywood. This week, I wanted to kind of dig more into this. And
we have a Hollywood theme going.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to switch it up eventually. I like to kind of theme what I do off of what Alexa does. So, yeah. Well, my girl crush is Angela Duckworth. She is a psychologist. Again, she has a PhD, and she is a professional of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania. And she wrote a book called Grit. And this is...
True Grit or just regular Grit?
Just called Grit.
All right.
Grit.
Just plain Grit.
So, yep. And this book... really, really like this. It's The Power of Passion and Perseverance. This book kind of plays into last week's book. So if you read The Mindset, that book is phenomenal. And then Angela Duckworth plays off of Carol Dweck's book a little bit and kind of goes into a deeper dive with this. And it's a little bit more focused on business, which I really like. So I find it very interesting. This one's a little heavy with psych, though. Like if you're not a big scientific person, this goes a little bit more in a deeper dive.
If you're one of those flat earthers, get out of here.
We don't want you here. We'll take all the likes on Apple though, because that really helps us.
One star. They think the earth is round. And they like psychology.
Who are these people talking about women in history? The earth is flat. Get it right.
I mean, have you seen any curves anywhere?
So that's my girl crush. I have another book for you guys.
You need. I'm going to give you like stickers and be like, Brianna, like whatever the Oprah stickers are, they're going to be like Brianna stickers.
Yeah, I would like that. Thank you.
All right. That's also, that's going to be your other Christmas present. It's just 1,000 stickers.
You're just on a Christmas theme right now.
Santa's Village today, okay?
You're like, I was there too long. It's Christmas already. I'm panic shopping for Christmas.
All right, guys, I gotta go put up my tree. All right,
I don't understand.
There you go.
It was nothing. We can just take that out.
No, what do you not understand? This will be the next segment. All right, what does Brianna not understand this week? Are we going to talk about the UCC filings again? Because I don't think this is the right platform.
I figured it out.
Okay.
No, I was just going to say, I don't understand when people like buy their Christmas presents in like before, way before Christmas. That I don't get. I don't know how they're that organized.
Those people are out there.
Those people. Good for you. I buy presents like the day before, and that's why Amazon Prime.
Don't trust those people. They have an agenda.
And they budget really well, which I'm so envious of them.
All right, let's get out of here. Thank you guys so much for listening, and tune in next week to Girl Power History, because history is her story.
Bye.
Thank you to our dear friends Carly and Dylan Peterson for creating our theme song and show music. You can follow their band Valentine on Spotify and on social media at Valentine the Band. Visit our show description for sources and episode links. Email us at hello@girlpowerhistory.com and follow us on all social media platforms at Girl Power History. Girl Power History.